Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, and the Maryland Terps are headed to the Sweet 16 to San Francisco. What a treat it will be. Luke Jones joins us now to talk some rare Sweet 16 basketball, some March Madness basketball, some West Coast basketball, and I guess some Baltimore basketball in the end to kiss the glass and have the queen be the king, Lucas.
Yeah, I mean, full disclosure, we're being bandwagon jumpers here a little bit. You and I have not mentioned much about the Terps other than in passing, but when you're
I've
talking
only been on the
about,
bandwagon since 73. I had Tom
I mean, more
McMillan on last
specifically
week.
this year,
Other
but
than that, yeah, that's all.
I've watched and I've watched pretty closely since the end of Raven season, end of football season. And this is a Terps team that gained momentum as Big Ten play went on. They end up being the number two seed in the Big Ten tournament. A frustrating loss to Michigan in the semis, on a end-to-end layup at the buzzer. I mean, we think back to the Michigan State game where they lose on a 50-foot shot at the buzzer. I mean, their last four losses since early January have all been on literal last-second shots. So perhaps it was appropriate that one finally went in their direction. And as you mentioned, I mean, I guess the quote was, "I'm from Baltimore, that's why." And that's why the ball was in Derrick Queen's hands, and it's why he's going to be a lottery pick, and that's why as long as someone locks him in the weight room at some point and he just gets stronger, keeping in mind he's a freshman, I think this kid's going to have a bright future in the NBA. I mean, you saw it. He hits a couple threes early in the night, and he wins it and sends it the Terps to the Sweet 16 for what, the second time since 2003.
Just in time for the portal to open.
Yeah, well, I mean, for him, I mean, it's all about his
Ha
NBA draft stock. I mean, he's not playing in college this year or this coming year. So, great moment. A frustrating night, frustrating first half, I think, for the Terps. With
They weren't very good.
their guards really struggled in the first half, better in the second half. At times, kind of out hustled. I mean, it's a frustrating night. I mean, we're a Derrick Queen miss away from talking about the Terps, being a number four seed, being bounced in the second round,
Oh
but
man, Lake hit
did
that
it.
shot. Clifford didn't
Yeah.
get thrown out of the game.
I mean,
He
I'll
was the
say,
best player on the floor most of the night, right?
I will say this. I thought this when they beat Memphis in the first round. Colorado State wasn't a 12 seed. I mean, look, I don't pay close attention to net rankings and all that kind of stuff that goes into what the selection committee does, but I thought in both of their games, they looked like a legitimate, not like a Cinderella low-seeded kind of team. So they gave the Terps everything they could handle, but I mean, just what a moment for Derrick Queen. It made me think back to, when they hit the three to go ahead. It's like, okay, this isn't quite as bad as Corey Lucius in 2010 for Michigan State against Maryland. And okay, I don't know if I'm ready to put this in the same space as Drew Nicholas, but maybe I should because, hey, this sent him to the Sweet 16. So great moment. Awesome moment for a Baltimore kid and for a program that's had a really weird week with, Damon Evans leaving and so much speculation and questions about Kevin Willard and the contract extension and him wanting more funding for the program, all that kind of stuff. That will continue to be an issue until it's not. But boy, on the court, I mean, that was when you're talking about the game of the tournament in the opening weekend, and it's I know you didn't watch a whole lot. I've watched a lot of basketball the last 4 days. It's been kind of an underwhelming tournament overall through the first two rounds, but boy, there's nothing underwhelming about Maryland and Colorado State. I mean, a great basketball game and a great finish, and one of those games where one team had to lose, and you're glad it's not your team that you're rooting for.
Well, you get the walkover on Friday night, right? In the early play, and that's not always the case for the Terps. This is always where it gets sticky, not just for the Terps, but for lots of teams. 32 in the 16, you think they're just going to go out there and, be up 15 at the half and be subbing in, and like that's not what this team is. And I think that watching this thing develop this year and watching the whole NIL and watching them go play USC and whatever else is going on with the strangeness of all of it. Everything feels so short-lived, right? And I talked to Pat Scarry about that, where they had had such a good season and it ends, and you're like, guys coming back, are they not? That was always the question for college sports in general. I mean, I referenced Steve Francis as a, guy that was around for 3 months, and you mentioned Queen. If he misses that shot, it's the last shot he'd miss too, as a Terp, right? So nothing's for long here, and the money and the squabbling and all of that, but a little bit like the Orioles, where you and I will spend large stretches this week on our way to Toronto talking about the potential of having these incredible players, having Henderson and Westberg and Holiday and Rutschman all, and Cowser coming on, like all of these guys, special guys. If you're an Oriole fan, you're like, all right, get some pitching. We need some more help. We need some more of this, more of that. With this college basketball thing and football, same thing, but college basketball, because you got five players, they have five players, they have no bench, don't need one, can't afford one, cost too much, like relief pitching in baseball. But you get this moment to do it, and they were behind most of the night, wasn't going well. Colorado State was shooting the ball well, then wasn't all of a sudden. Then they Lake makes that shot, and it feels like, wow, 3 seconds left, that it's that fleeting. But I don't know that Willard could be here another 10 years and put together five guys this good. I mean, I think you and I go back, was it 17, 18, the year they had Suleiman come in from Duke, and they had Stone.
Diamond Stone.
Yeah, they had. That was the best team Turgeon had, right?
Easily.
Gary had a couple of teams. Gary had a couple of teams here and again, same as Lefty did. Lefty had a couple of teams, 77, 78, Buck Williams. There were a couple of teams that were good enough. This team's good enough, right? I mean, I think the word I was going to use was capable. This team's capable. And now they go this week. I mean, we're 5 days away. You and I will be in Toronto up late, or whatever the timing will be on Friday night, from San Francisco, watching what's going on. They're gonna take on the best team in the land now, and they'll have some confidence doing that. And it's a short week when you're out on the West Coast, and you win a game of that magnitude. But these five guys are capable of winning two more games, right? I mean, that's the ask here this weekend, right?
Yeah, no question. I mean, they're going to go up against Florida. That'll be Thursday, actually.
Thursday, my bad.
As you and I are talking in real time, they haven't announced the game time, but it will be Thursday in San Francisco.
Well, good. The
So,
Orioles will be over at 7 o'clock. You and I'll drink Canadian
yeah,
beer.
we should be hopefully. Yeah, hopefully the timing works out pretty nicely. But
They allow
I
American basketball in Canada? I don't know. I have to
as far
ask.
as I mean, the Raptors aren't very good right now. So,
It is a
but
Thursday night. Yeah.
yeah, but I mean, it's. I think anyone, as you saw the Terps play over the last 2 months, so much talk about, the Crab Five, and I mean they have the leading, leading scoring starting five, and a lot of it's because, other than, Jordan Geronimo, on occasion they don't get very much from their bench whatsoever. I mean it's just to basically get guys breathers, but I think anyone who's watched this team play over the bulk of the season, you see what it's capable of being. Understanding that you got to stay out of foul trouble. That's a given when you don't have much of a bench. But you have a starting five that you feel good going up against anyone when you have Derek Queen. I mean, Julian Reese is the one guy who's been here, right? You talked about, what the kind of hired gun nature that college basketball has become, especially in the NIL world. I mean, my goodness, the transfer portal opens during postseason play. I mean,
Well, you
that's
don't
all
even
you.
have to go out of his gene pool. I mean, you're going to just go down the hallway to his sister, right?
Sure, no question. But I think Julian Reese, when you consider what he's meant, I don't want to put it in the same atmosphere as Walt Williams, but similar in the sense that it's nice to have someone who's stuck by, in a time of transition, going from Mark Turgeon to Willard, and then
I
they could.
spent an hour with Walt last week talking to him about
Yeah.
it. And
I mean, that
it
means
is.
something.
Yeah, it does, and I think it means something that a Baltimore kid makes the shot, because we're
No
50
doubt.
years past all of this. I reached to Keith Booth last week too, by the way. But when you go into the depth pool, we the Mount St. Joe thing a couple years ago, but right, but it hasn't been as much as you'd like. We don't have any memories of Muggsy
Yeah.
or any of the Georgetown guys.
But at the same time, you think back to Juan Dixon, right? And you think about how special that was. But that was a long time ago. I mean, I was a freshman in college at that point in
25
time.
years
So,
ago, yeah.
yeah. Yeah, I mean, 23, I guess. So, but you have Reese, you have Queen. So you have two big men that most teams are going to have issues matching up against. And then you have three guards in Gillespie, Rice, and Miguel. If you have two of those guys on any given night hitting perimeter shots at a reasonable rate, I mean, there you go. They're really tough to beat. You know, they can play with anyone in that kind of scenario. They're going to be the underdog against Florida, as they should be. But if we're talking about them playing then on Saturday night, you know, if they're getting by Florida, they find a way and they're playing for a chance to go to the Final Four for the first time since 2002. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and be stunned by that, but you know, you got to go play, and they certainly will have to play better. Right. I mean, as we said, it was a choppy, you know, early on, you know, some of the backdoor cuts were really hurting them, you know. And again, Colorado State played well,
They
but
didn't defend the perimeter either against the team that
yeah,
wanted
I
to
mean,
shoot it.
you know, they defended well at times, but it was choppy. But, you know, they got it done. You know, they played better in the final 4 minutes or so. And I mean, it came down to, you know, Willard even said after the game, he kind of asked who wants the ball, and Derek Queen wanted the ball. I mean, it was that simple. And, you know, some people were looking at, did he take an extra half a step there? I mean, it's basketball. I mean, you know,
He
there's,
might have taken 2.5 extra steps for
I
all I
know
know,
it
but like
wasn't
it's
that
not.
bad, but no, it wasn't
Yeah, they're not
egregious.
going to call it.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't egregious or anything like that. I mean, I think it was fine. And I mean, just, but he has that kind of touch. He, the footwork, everything about him other than just get stronger. And he's 19, right? I mean, he's going to mature physically, but you watch him, and having watched him over the course of the year, I mean, like I said, he can hit some outside shots. I mean, that's not his forte, but he can do it. And it's something that he'll probably get better at as he gets older. I mean, he's got a chance to have a really nice NBA career. I mean, he's going to be a lottery pick, and now he's got this, you know, as a feather in his cap going into, you know, however long this run for Maryland lasts. But I mean, just a great memory, right? I mean, Drew Nicholas, you know, he wasn't an all-time great at Maryland, but he's someone who's remembered very fondly because of the shot he hit against Wilmington, right? In 03. And you know, you think about those moments in time, and whether they end up making it to the Final Four or whether they, you know, their run comes to an end against Florida on Thursday night. I mean, just really special moment, big win, important for the program. Like I said, with everything that's kind of going on
Yeah, let's
off the
address that
floor.
a little bit. Wait, I mean, I don't follow the drama of all of it, but my God, the Debbie Yao and Gary Williams thing was like a holy war that went on for like a decade. And that was all about them getting the building built, how much money it was going to take. I knew lots of season ticket holders or Maryland Club, Terrapin Club members that were pissed about this and that happened with Cole Fieldhouse. That was so long ago. And now the money's just like out on the table. And you're either playing in that fashion or you're going to go to SMU and play in that fashion, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, just and full disclosure, I haven't been as plugged in covering Maryland athletics as I was 10 or 15 years ago when I was doing it regularly. I mean, as everyone's well aware now, Damon Evans off to SMU. You know, Willard, before Maryland played on Friday, there was a press conference out in Seattle, and he basically announced that, yeah, Evans, you know, Damon Evans is heading to SMU. Willard wanted him out. Willard has been very vocal about not just, you know, the contract extension's a given, and that's a big part of it in terms of the power play. But he's talked about it. He wants more funding for the program. He wants more NIL money. I mean, the kind of things that, yeah, you need to do if you want to have a program that's going to reach its ceiling. So he's certainly in a
Well, the old way
position.
is out. I mean, Evans came in during the old era, really.
I mean, well, you know, he took over in 17. I mean, he survived the Jordan McNair thing, which, you know, I at the time, I think there were a lot of questions about that, you know, regardless of his individual responsibility for that. You know, just the idea that he survived that, I was surprised about that at the time. But now, I mean, Kevin Willard, especially taking this team to the Sweet 16, you know, he's sitting pretty. Whatever's going to happen, whether it's going to be, you know, he gets everything he wants at Maryland, or whether, you know, I mean, there have been plenty of social media
Well,
of
everybody's
noise
for
and
hire,
smoke
right? I mean,
about
you know what I mean?
Villanova, right? I
Yeah,
mean, yeah.
sure.
And you
And
know,
now, by the way, Ryan Odom from UMBC gets
that
that big
Virginia
win.
now,
Dude,
sure.
I was there the day he got hired and threw a party for those guys down at Fells Point. And John Feinstein, the late, great John Feinstein, was there and a part of all of that. I mean, it happens quick. It
It
really
does.
happens quick. And
It does.
I think it's even more when the Pat Scherys stick around and Coppin's trying to figure it out. And all of these schools in the new era, and at Maryland, you say, even at Maryland, there it's tumultuous because there is so much money, and the portal opened today, Luke. The portal's open. I don't know if you know or not. I mean, like, that's the biggest story for everybody. Here, it's Maryland makes a shot, and it's great. You know, a week from now, it's Queens on to the NBA. Who are we getting? You know, who went into the portal? I mean, it's an industry now beginning today. Excuse me.
No doubt. And what's, you know, the cloud that kind of hangs over all of it is the state of college football in terms of these mega conferences. And while Maryland's not a powerhouse in football, you still want to be as best positioned as you can be to make sure you're not left out whenever things continue to evolve. So that makes it more complicated too. But if you're Kevin Willard at this point, I mean, you know, it's not quite Joe Flacco putting up his feet, you know, on Steve Bisciotti's desk, but you just took Maryland to the Sweet 16 for only the second time in the last 20 plus years. So you're sitting pretty. And yeah, there's going to be turnover. I mean, Queen's going to the NBA. Reese is a senior. You know, we'll see what happens with Gillespie. Rice is only a sophomore, but you're going to have to give him NIL money because, you know, he's the guy that, you know, while he hasn't necessarily had, you know, Mr. Consistent great performances, we've seen him step up at
Well,
big
there goes
times.
your point. You win a little bit next weekend, and
Everyone wants, yeah.
it's like NFL players winning in January, and they
Sure.
become more attractive all of a sudden when they make big shots in big games.
Yeah, no doubt. So, I mean, it's, you know, you're going to have to do what needs to be done to sustain this. And yeah, the roster's going to turn over because that's just the nature of college basketball at this point. But
But it is weird.
yeah, it is. I mean, no
Yeah,
question.
it's
But at the same
unusual.
time, that's why you savor a moment like this. That's why you hope you take advantage of this, right? I mean, any Baltimore kid that, you know, is a sophomore or junior in high school right now, freshman. They're seeing what Derrick Queen just did, and you hope, and obviously NIL and all that is part of the equation, but you hope they see that and they say, I want to be the next Derrick Queen. In the same way that when Juan Dixon did it 23 years ago, 25 years ago, you wanted Baltimore kids to see that and say, I want to be the next Juan Dixon. So, you know, we'll see, and we'll see how long this run lasts and whether the Terps can make it to, you know, late into the weekend next weekend. And, you know, who knows? Again, they have the starting five that can play with just about anyone. They can play big, they can play small. You know, there are times where I feel like they forget one or the other at times. You know, there were a couple points in the game on Sunday night where they got a little perimeter shooting happy compared to what I would have liked to have seen. But
Well,
when
the weirdest part is none of these guys have played together long either, right? I mean, it really is. It's a pickup team for 5 months, a couple, right? Really, that's
I mean,
what
going back,
all these things have
yeah. I
become.
mean, it's definitely it is different in the sense that you think about the 02 Terps and how that team, I mean, they grew, they were together for 3 years, 4 years. You know,
Well, that's where you call it a program. It's
I
a
mean, at that
program at
right.
that
I mean,
point.
you know, you think back to then, it was kind of strange. Byron Mouton, you know, was a he was a transfer, you know,
My all-time
so
favorite Terp, by the way. Yep.
yeah. Oh, he was a very important part of that championship team. But you think about that, and you know how many teams will be like that in the future with college basketball. And I'm not even going to try to. I'm not going to sound like old man, like all lamenting the past. It's
No, but
just
it's just
different
how
now.
quick it's going to
Yeah,
change
it's
now.
different
You
now.
either make
So,
that shot in Seattle and move on and play Thursday, or you miss it.
or
And
you
if you
miss
miss
it,
it, it's over.
and we're talking about the same exact things, except you don't have the feel good moment of the win and knowing that you're playing against Florida.
Well, the feel
So.
good moment only feels so good if you go out and lose 71-54 on Thursday. You know what I mean? To a
I mean,
one seed.
but it's still a moment. I mean, it's still a moment,
Oh,
right?
I mean,
I mean,
I'm
and that's
with
what
you,
I mean.
Ed. But my point is, you don't say we're bringing half the band back next year and we'll get them next year. There ain't no tomorrow. There's just right now for any of these
No question.
programs, and that's where college basketball is. been hanging on there for a long, long time where kids were renting for a minute. I mentioned Steve Francis around here, who's sort of the first around here to do it. But when the whole pack of them, literally everyone becomes a free agent every March, it's just the more success they would to. They get to the eight, they get to the four. When you don't win, you don't win. And but the final four would be something really,
Yeah, I
you
mean,
know, if they win two games this week, that's really they've really done something that's for the ages. And there's no one that disputes when you get to the final four that you've not really had some success, even at George Mason.
I mean, you're a his it's historic. I mean, when you're talking about a program that has two Final Fours and one national championship, it's historic. But I think for this team, just putting it in the proper perspective, I think if you'd ask any Terps fan to a man, or a woman, that I think Sweet 16 is where, you're a four seed. I think because of what we said, the strength of their starting five, the fact that they have size, the fact that they have three guards who can hit outside shots, experienced players, albeit not guys that have played together a long time. I think the expectation was get to the Sweet 16. If you can, anything after that, then is gravy. And I think that's where they are at this point in time. You're going to be an underdog against Florida, but I'm not going to sit here and say they can't go out and beat them. I mean, this is a team that when they're playing at their best, and assuming they stay out of foul trouble, again, that's the caveat when you're 5.5 deep. I'll give Jordan Geronimo maybe a half a player credit, I guess. They can play with anyone. And as we said, since early January, they've lost four games and they were all on buzzer beaters. So it speaks to, when they've lost, it's been excruciating. It's been close. I mean, they haven't been blown out by anyone. So, roll the ball out there Thursday night and see what happens. But, you think about those moments. I saw it earlier this week on social media where, they put out, it was the date of the 94 team beating UMass, right? I mean, that team was a 10 seed. UMass was a number two. This was the Joe
UMass
Smith.
is really good. They
Yeah,
had
oh, that
Dante
was Marcus
Bright, Danny
Camby.
Dingle.
Yeah,
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 yeah, yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
But and this was the Joe Smith, Keith Booth, freshman year team, and X-Ree Hip had a big game, and that was kind of his peak at Maryland. Unfortunately for him, but I mean that's what put Maryland back on the map. That team, that getting to the Sweet 16 that year, and it's not the same story because Derek Queen's not even going to hang around for a sophomore year, nor should he. I mean, he's going to be a lottery pick. He should go to the NBA. But it's just a great moment. It's fun. This is one of those, as a Terps basketball fan, you'll think back to the all-time NCAA tournament moments, and you think about the good, you think about the bad with Corey Lucius, and you'll think about Derek Queen hitting a shot at the buzzer off the glass. I mean, just a beautiful touch on a play where he didn't have a whole lot of time there. So, I mean, it's a special moment for a program that, let's face it, over the last 20 years hasn't had a whole lot of special moments. I think for anyone who thinks back to where they were in 99, 2000, 01, 02, the Juan Dixon, Lonnie Baxter era, for it to be followed, how special that was. And then even 03 with Blake, they got back to the Sweet 16 at least. But since then, the Gravis Vasquez year or two was pretty special, at least, relatively speaking. And as you mentioned, the hired gun, Diamond Stone, Rashid Suleiman team for Turgeon, there hasn't been a whole lot to write home about
Well, that
for
was the
Maryland
team he had
basketball.
that could win. The
Yeah.
Vasquez teams, they were never like national champion.
I mean,
I never felt that.
2010, I'll disagree with you a little bit. I think there was a path for them. Corey Lucius hit a buzzer beater in the second round, and they were done. So it was just like that. But the point is, I think for every dream about what Maryland might become after they won the national championship in 02, it didn't play out that way. And that's not a criticism of anyone. It's how it played out. So to have something like this happen, you savor it. It's fun. See what happens from here. Kevin Willard's in a really good position, individually speaking. And, if he is going to stay and sign an extension to get everything he wants for the program to maybe take it to the next level, who knows? Hopefully.
Well, these
But
are the things that makes it more attractive, because those kids don't want to hear about Drew Nicholas
oh, I
and
mean,
you
you
know,
might as well
none of
talk
that
about
means anything,
you might
right?
as well talk about Bob Cousy. You might as well talk about Gary Williams as a player in the 60s, you know? I mean, and that's not that they're disrespectful, they just don't know. I mean, these guys weren't they weren't even born yet when
I
Juan
thought about this
Dixon.
with, you know, I've had Tom McMillan on. I reached to Len Elmore. I reached to Keith Booth. I had Walt Williams on. I thought, man, Tom McMillan, it was 52 years ago, man. 51 years ago. It's crazy.
Well, you think about it, I mean, what does appeal to young players, you know, coming to Maryland beyond NIL, which is, I mean, that's the answer for every program at this point.
Winning,
But
playing big games
no,
and winning.
but I just mean in terms of like who do they see on, you know, Gary Williams is, I mean,
Yeah,
I
but
love.
it's not like going to Duke or North Carolina means anything around here with the ACC and the way,
Oh,
you know, they think
no.
about all of it
I'm
differently,
just
right?
saying that all that stuff happened a really long time ago relative to 18 to 22-year-olds. And it's not a knock. It's just the truth. I mean, God bless Gary. He just turned 80 years old, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about here. That was a long time ago when Gary picked up the pieces in the early 90s of
Think
what the
about all these
program
programs
was.
that were cool for a minute, whether it was Georgetown,
Sure.
wherever. I mean, even Florida, seeing them this week, they got cool and, you know, they have their years and they don't have their years, but it's not like a basketball school or anything like that. Maryland thinks of itself as a basketball school because it can't be a football school. It ain't a football school, right? So it's really a women's college basketball school. They've had a lot more success.
They have. So, I mean, it's fun. It's something to you hope can be a springboard. And again, Kevin Willard's in a position of power right now, no matter how it's going to happen. But for what it was, just in isolation, you know, regardless of what happens against Florida or next weekend, you know, special moment for Derrick Queen. You know, you love when a Baltimore kid does something like that, right? And you know, you love when a Baltimore kid is going to go on to the NBA, and as I said, get him in the weight room, get him stronger physically, and I think that kid can absolutely play at the next level. I
Wizards,
mean,
wizards. Oh, I'm just kidding.
the footwork, I mean, the touch, as you saw in the final shot. I mean, he can hit some outside shots here and there. I mean, he's just so impressive. And to see him not just make that shot, but he wanted the ball, right? I mean, Willard talked about it immediately after the game. Special stuff, really special stuff, and we'll see what happens after that, but pretty cool night, pretty cool weekend if you're a Terps fan amidst all the Damon Evans and Kevin Willard drama and, you know, still unresolved with the latter.
Maryland, we're all behind you. Lucas Jones can be found out at Baltimore Luke. He'll be found north of the border with me in Toronto, Canada. Beginning on Thursday, we will have full coverage of Sky Dome and Rogers Center activities. Opening day, no Gunnar Henderson, talking pitching around here. The Ravens still play. Is there still that investigation in Justin Tucker? I think that's still going on, right? Yeah.
As far as I know, it is.
Well, if anything happens, you'll get it first on the WNST Baltimore Positive Tech Service, brought to you by our friends at Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Luke can be found out on the internet. I can be found out on the internet as well. Ness at BaltimorePositive.com. Feels so good to talk a little hoopology here as we get through March, opening day week. A lot of baseball around as well. We'll get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road next Wednesday. We will be at Fadley's at Lexington Market before the Orioles Red Sox game. Got some great guests coming for that one as well. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. Terps play on Thursday. Orioles play on Thursday. It's a big week. We're WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.